Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's the one and only Russell Morning Show. It tells you where to go, who to call, and how to get there. We're talking about an upcoming event that is going to blow the DMV away. It's the largest, most caring, giving, epic Christmas celebration in the DMV. It's the DMV's biggest night. It's December 7th. It's going to be from 6 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the magnificent ballroom of the Masonic Temple in the heart of D.C., 10th and U Street. Everybody's going to be there. It's our biggest event where we give out the awards, the Black Oscars for the DMV. And on our newsmaker, one of the rewards of recipients is going to be Chris Thomas, and Chris Thomas is the icon of the DMV. Chris, welcome to the Russell Price Morning Show. You're on the air.
Oh, it's Santa Claus. Oh, I'm just messing with you, Russell. It's great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's a pleasure and an honor to have you on the air. Oh. You are an icon in the DMV and also around the world. You have been doing this for, gotta be over 40 years. How do
you
close.
Maintain? It's getting there, Russell.
It's getting there. Well, it seems like I've been knowing you at least 30 years. I mean, I'm telling
well,
you, Chris, you're the same as you was. Well, you're the same as you was yesterday, today, and forever, man. What is your secret to this comedy aspect of life and your way you keeping yourself up and keep going? What are you doing?
Well, that's a good question. Is I believe in health, prayer, spirit, and love. And that has been the rewards for me. You know, I started out in comedy in junior high school. And when I went to High Point Senior High School in Beltsville, Maryland, you know, I got paid $500 to do assemblies. And we used to have this talent show called Blue and Gold. So they asked me to do the Miss Black Teenage Pageant. And the star performer was Roach Brown. He was... Max Roach, excuse me, not Roach Brown, Max Roach, and he was one of the leading drummers in the country. So after that, everything just started. I started getting a lot of work. Then they asked me from Howard University Children's Theater to come over there every day and be part of the Howard Players and the Howard University Drama Department. And through those years from Rap City and they had an award ceremony. So this is good what you're doing, Russell, honoring those who have put a lot of time in, such as yourself, because I had won an award with Eddie Murphy, Red Fox, many years ago in Hollywood. They had an award ceremony called the African American Humor Awards. And they went back from Moms Mabley to Bubba Smith to Red Fox. And they broke it down in categories. But at that time, I thought I was just going to be using my fame from Rap City to actually just be a host, along with Raymond St. Jock. He was the host. The lady who plays Urkel's mother on Family Matters, she was the host. And they had everybody. They had some of the biggest black comedians, Eddie Murphy, Sinbad. And they got to this category. And they said that I won an award. So I have it at home along with a couple other TV awards that I have won. But this is great, Russell. And you have always been this way. I mean, in the community, you've given back. And you have been rewarded for it. So whatever I can do to always help you. I mean, I hope I even get to do a couple impressions up there because I like to do my Barack thanking you.
Well, I tell everybody, man, it's amazing. That I came to this town in 1972. I'm not from this town. I'm from Philadelphia. But I came here by the way of the United States Air Force. And I just saw a need in this town to empower African Americans with where to go, who to call, and how to get there. We started a little magazine called Russell News, and the rest is history. But what we're doing on December the 7th is the biggest night in the DMV. We've got everybody coming. We're going to pack the place with not only icons like yourself, but we're going to have people who are upcoming artists, that people who are being recognized for the works they've done, community people. We've got the philanthropists of the year. the philanthropist of the year. He got two of them, a male and a female. Philanthropists, people who really put their money where their mouth is. We're talking about giving millions of dollars, and they're not unknown. They're unsung, but they're going to be recognized that night. We also have the icons that get what we're going to have, the queens of the DJs. The queens of the DJs, the DJs that have survived, we did gentrification. I mean, you know, DJs went from playing 45 records to now computers. But some people got lost in the shuffle. Some people don't know about a laptop. They can't DJ no more. But we've got three ladies, queens, the queens of the DJs, the surviving DJ gentrification. And we've got people like you who have survived the comedy gentrification. I mean, how could you do that, Chris? You're still standing. I mean, all the people who have come and gone, the ones who have died, but the ones who thought they could jump out there in the comedy world and couldn't make it. I remember a gentleman who used to be a basketball player, and he jumped out there into the comedy world, but he realized it wasn't for the weak at heart. His name was Shake and Bake. He's gone now.
Shake and Bake, Davis Reavers. He was the one that they called and invented the crossover.
Right.
Went to Georgia. He was a bulldog. Went to Georgia.
Right. But he couldn't be a comedian. He never broke into that comedian world like that. He couldn't do it. He tried, but he was not a comedian. But not if people want to be stand-up. And they can't be stand-up. You know, I mean, you just can't be it. I know one cute joke that I can tell if I had to go on stage. I'm going to tell it now. I got one cute joke. This little boy was a product of the ward to the court where he was in foster care. And he went to the courthouse, and the judge said to him, his parents was trying to get him to come back home. And his parents said to him, the judge said to him, look, I want to give you, you know, back to your home. He said, who do you want to live with? Do you want to live with your mother? And the little boy said, no, I don't want to live with my mother. And the judge said, why not? The little boy said, my mother beats me. So the judge said, you want to live with your father? The little boy said, no, I don't want to live with my father. He said, why not? He said, because my father beats me also. The judge said, who do you want to live with? The little boy said, I want to live with the Redskins because they don't beat nobody.
you are right. Redskins lately ain't worth winning or losing because they're not going to go to the playoffs. And I hope they do. Russ, I got one. I just took my mother.
Tell us how you got involved with doing impressions. How did you get involved with doing impressions? Tell us how you got
I don't know. I guess God gave me. I was trying to save the world. I was actually a believer in those Superman heroes and Spider-Man. So I actually jumped off a house one time with a cape on, and realizing it wasn't for me. Maybe even Jesus Christ said that's not for him. So I'm gonna give him some other talent, and I just started doing impressions. I started doing Donald Duck and Yogi Bear, and the rest is history. So, Russ, I want to tell you a quick joke, too, because I brought my mother to one of her good friends who just passed away. And my mom and dad, they still live, and they're about 90 years old, so they keep kicking this joke around. So they was talking about a husband and a wife, and he was saying, baby, when I pass away, don't you have no funeral for me spending all that money. I want to be cremated. His wife said, babe, we got plenty of money. We got hundreds of thousands of dollars. I can always bury you. She said, you heard what I said, woman. When I die, I want you to cremate me. She said, I can't do that. He said, baby, why? She said, as mean as you've been to people, I don't want to see you burn twice.
Oh, man, that's a good joke, man. That's a good one, man. But you are
you have to understand it, that not only was he had plenty of money, he must not have been too good of a guy. So she just told him she didn't want to see him burned twice. She didn't want to be burned twice.
What makes some comedians survive and some don't? What makes a comedian like yourself survive and others don't? What makes some comedians fade away and never come back?
Well, I am a believer into what I do. See, Russell, I'm not just a entertainer. I learned the business. I got comedy rooms once a month all over the country, including California and San Francisco. And I just got a call before I spoke to you from Niagara Falls, New York. So what happens is my talent, I believe in what I do. You know, I'm not trying to be nobody else. I don't do nobody else's material. If I do, I always indicate who that person was who created that joke. I don't, and that's what's killing this art. Everybody's trying to find their niche. Everybody is not a LeBron James. Everybody is not a Walter Payton. Everybody is not a Stevie Wonder. But they try. But when you try, you have to at least earn it. You have to. No one, I can. Walter Payton cannot give somebody his yard and say, this guy, I didn't rush it. Joe Blow is the one there. With comedy, I have lived a wonderful life. I mean, traveling with Run DMC, traveling with Luther Vandross, Prince, all these people. So I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot happen. When I used to tour with Tupac, I've seen a lot. But sometimes it's just a gift. Everybody has a gift. Sometimes there's good preachers that raises you up, that make you want to shout. And then there's other pastors who can just give the word. So it's just like what you're doing. People follow you because they know that you have the heart and you really mean what you're doing. So I stay busy because I don't wait for people to call me. It is a business. I mean, for television, when they did the 25th anniversary of the Russell Simmons 25th, called me and said they had a table for me with my name on it. But the problem was they did not tell me, were they sending me a plane ticket or I had to fly myself out there. The invitation did not say that. So when people come up to me and say, Chris, you know, you've been part of that Russell Simmons Def Comedy Jam touring with the actual tour at Russell Simmons. Why weren't you at the 25th Netflix show? But they never I called every number on that invite and said, tell me what is going on. Is this a tape show for comedy or is this an invite? How do I suppose to get there? They never called me. So those people who are actually on the show that you've seen, a lot of them live in California. A lot of them didn't fly in from anywhere. They already live there.
Wow, because I look at that show and I said that was the missing link, man. There was no way you shouldn't have been on that show because there were some comedians on there that was not as, I would call, prominent as you. There were some people that...
They was there, but I actually toured with Russell. I actually was on the tour. Now, it wasn't a lot of comedians on the tour with the Russell Simmons Def Comedy Jam tour. It was me, Chris Tucker, Michael Collier, Cheryl Underwood, Ricky Harris, and it's the other young lady. I don't want to say her name unless I know it. But she travels with Chris Tucker a lot. I mean, we traveled for 3 years, man. We traveled for 3 years. So I don't feel bad because they still send me royalty checks. And they're still showing my stuff on HBO and Netflix.
Well, you know, I had the pleasure of meeting that was at my comedy spot, but I was doing comedy over at Russell's and Hampton Mall. A guy named Red, man. Red started out doing a comedy at my place over there at Hampton Mall, and he got the tour with, what's his name, Cat Williams, man. He got the tour with Cat Williams.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Red Grant.
Red Grant started out with me, man. He was I had a comedy night. This is years ago. When I had the Russell's Banquet Hall at Hampton Mall, and I went to the comedians and I said, man, y'all are running from one club to another club. You need to have a spot where you can just come out one night and do it. I gave them a Wednesday night, and they brought in all these guys, a guy called Big Ed, a guy called Red Grant, a whole bunch of comedians that were, you know, it wasn't big names, but they were known in the area, and they used to come out there on a Wednesday and do that. But what you had, Chris, what you did that nobody has done and is still a void was that comedy club you had, man, the Comedy Connection. Man, that is a void in this town. that club should be just like the improv is standing today. The comedy connection should be standing today. How come that's not standing today?
Well, I'm gonna tell you, is because as you can have good comedians, you can, and you have good promoters, you can also have bad promoters. We're not talking about people who may have the money to open up a business, but they don't know how to run it. They think that they can make $30,000 and the comedian only make $5. So then you pay for what you get. So they're getting, just because they hear the word, I'm a comedian, and the guy will do it for $100 or $50, they'll go out here and hire him when he's not polished. It's either that or he's doing somebody else's material, because I had that happen. But in June, they have I had spoke to Senator Muse the other day at the fight over the MGM, and he was talking about how much money that they have in Maryland for people who have businesses. And maybe I can get him on your show. They have around $10 billion for people who want to open up businesses with a great proposal, but we're only getting 2% of it. And when he's elected county executive, he's going to make sure that urban Americans get at least 45%. And we were sitting there just talking at the fight with Roast Julian the other day at the MGM. So I think people need to more so learn the business and maybe go to school, because it's a little bit more than they expect, being that there's so many other businesses around. And you do
that,
Russell.
That was a brand name.
You go into businesses and help them and help club owners.
Huh?
I said you go into different businesses and help club owners.
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, that's what I do. Well, that's the purpose of the Black Card, the purpose of the magazine. What we do is drive people to websites and put people in seats. I go to events, places that nobody's there on a particular – like, I'm going to be there on Thursday at the Masonic Temple Ball. Nobody's there. That's in the heart of D.C., but people ride right by there. They don't go there. Where can you go seating for 500 people? You're in the heart of U Street. U Street on a Friday night, you can't get in those places down there. White people are – there's no hole in the wall clubs, Chris. Packed with people. Hole in the wall. Place that we wouldn't even go in, but they packed with people. Packed with white people. They're all over U Street. And you can't, if you try to drive down U Street on a Saturday night, it'll take you an hour to get from 7th Street to 14th Street. It's crazy. But we don't understand. And I try to. Go ahead.
Well, when they had the Islander, I used to talk to those owners too about that, but they were much older, so they weren't able to do the things that they listened to me talk about. They said they had to, if their kids couldn't do it, then they can't do it. So me and their children was talking about it, but their kids, they really wasn't focused on really doing that. So once they sold them, I think they sold that property and got $3 million. I guess they came out okay.
Well, they sold the building, but look at the building now. Look at the white club. The white club there is doing booming business. They remodeling.
Yeah, they're probably going to do $3 million in 1 year.
They're going to do $3 million in 1 year. I'm telling you, Chris, if U Street is a gold mine, I mean, but there's no more black. We had all kind of black clubs on U Street. You know what would have been the baddest club right now on U Street that we lost? The club had a parking lot. It was inside of the Reed Center, held something like 300 people, sit-down restaurant. Ed Murphy's Supper Club was inside the Reed Center. Mayor Barry set it up. Gave that man a club, man, a restaurant and a nightclub inside the Reed Center with parking lot. Come on, Chris. You couldn't beat that
mismanagement.
But could you imagine having that club is boarded up, is gone, is no, don't exist no more. Could you imagine having that club today on U Street inside the Reed Center? Come on, Chris.
That, I'm telling you something. That was a wonderful spot. I did a couple shows there inside of the Reeves Center. That's where the mayor's office used to be at, correct?
It was a beautiful spot. Could you imagine still having the Harambee House open up on Georgia Avenue today? Come on, Chris, the Harambee House. They had a nightclub upstairs on the second floor. Could you imagine a black-owned hotel on right next to Howard Theater today? It would be mind-blowing.
Well, you know what? We had to spell that word mismanagement because that's how all they went out of business.
It's a shame. It's a shame that we lost those businesses like that. They closed.
Yeah, I was there when they first opened the Harambee House, and Stevie Wonder was there. Brian.
Everybody was there.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big thing, you know. And we did the first, believe it or not, we did the first black comedy TV show there for WHMM. That was the solo comedy with Andy Evans.
Right. The solo comedy was in that hotel.
It was Tommy Davidson, Martin Lawrence, everybody started there.
We messed up, man. This is 2017, soon to be 2018, and we messed up, man. You see the big venues that they have now. You got the MGM Theater. Chris Rock was there, man. The MGM Theater. Oh, I was there for the first night when they had Boys to Men. Has nothing to do with black people managing that. You can't even produce a show there. No black person can produce a show there. They won't allow you to produce a show there. There's a new place down on the waterfront. Have you been there and saw the Anthem, the theater? Have you been there?
Yeah. You said at the MGM.
Yeah, MGM Theater, but that's a beautiful theater.
Yeah, I was there this past week, last Thursday, for the boxing championship match with Roach Jr.
Okay. Have you seen that new venue they have in the Southwest?
You're talking about over where
the new
Channel N used to be at?
Huh?
You talking about over where the Channel N used to be?
Yeah, have you been to that new theater over there?
No, I haven't.
It holds 7,000 people. 7,000 people. 7,000 people, Chris. Baddest theater in D.C., and it's on the water. It's right there on the water. They had Eric Badu there. They bring it in Bob Dylan along with Mervis, latest staple. But it's mainly white acts. No black acts is coming in there. Very few black acts is in there. But I'm saying
a lot of that comes down to being attendance too, about how much we support each other. There's only certain acts that we'll support regardless on music or regardless on fame.
Well, we don't like to support each other. Moon Man just had a big show at the Chateau that I helped promote that was very successful. But Moon was telling me it's hard to produce a show for black people. He had a show down at the Warner Theater, man, which was hard to fill. He didn't fill it. It's hard to
fill. Oh, you're talking about David Chappelle?
David Chappelle went on that show. He sold out
18 shows at the Warner.
Yeah, David Chappelle there, because David Chappelle.
Well, he's a mainstream act. He's a mainstream act. Not only does
he's
he have an urban audience, he has a white audience, so they all pay
for
him.
But Dave Chappelle also appeals to white people, man. White people will support Dave. He didn't sell 18 shows, black people. I guarantee you that. You know what I mean? It wasn't no 18 shows of black people. I guarantee you that. He had white people involved.
Well, that's
like
another
Chris
thing that we got to focus on in order to get that 45% that Mr. Senator Muse was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not just going to give people money for businesses if they don't have a master plan.
Right. He was serious about that.
$10 billion is a lot, and you're only getting 2%.
Yeah. Crazy, man. I don't know, but I just know that you are doing what you're doing, and you're great at what you're doing, and you still manage to, you know, to have an audience, and your comedy shows are the best. But what's missing in D.C. is a black venue for black comedians. There's not in D.C. It's a void. If they had that, like an improv, or like when you had the Comedy Connection, if they had the Comedy Connection, what happened to the club downtown? They had white dude had a club downtown, not too far from the, it was in the center, I mean, it was a comedy club. I think you played there.
Talking about the improv?
Some kind of, huh?
The improv is still there, and they're doing very well.
The improv,
they're
the improv
probably making maybe
$6-7 million
a year.
This white dude tried to go up against the improv. He tried to produce a club like the improv.
Are you talking about the comedy cafe, or are you talking about, I know you're talking about the guy that had the place across from the FBI building.
Yeah, from the FBI, it was a big place, man.
They had arguments.
It didn't last
in the
long,
house,
man. But it was a good location and everything, man. It was a nice location right downtown. It wasn't too far from 7th Street, man. It wasn't too far from the, you know, downtown Chinatown. It wasn't that far.
Right.
It was something about rock or something. I can't think of the name of that club. But it didn't last long. Didn't fly. He couldn't make it fly. You know what I'm saying?
What happened is he had in-house arguments because of he knew more about comedy than they did, and so they decided they wanted to turn it into like a game room type of thing. I know you're talking about you had to walk downstairs. I performed there, did several weekends there.
But it's amazing, man, that these comedy clubs come and go. These restaurant places don't have a comedy night. There's no place that a person can go see comedy on a regular basis. You've tried it all, Chris. You. I've got to give it to you, your props, because you will go into a venue and you'll talk to the owner of the venue. You'll show the owner what you can do, and they still won't listen to you. What's up with that?
Sold on their own ideas. And I told them that if it's not, I'm there to try to help, but it's not all the money that they make in their restaurant is not going to be all theirs. They have to pay for performances and everything else. They're trying to pay bills off of, you know, actually off the comedy show when they have still Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
What that place up there on 450 that you were at, if they spent a little bit of money remodeling, put up a big old marquee Comedy Connection, whatever you want to call it, and have you, you know, bring the acts in and pay them and fix that menu, right? Add some proper food.
Are you talking about off of Suitland Park Road or Suitland?
Is it Suitland Parkway? Off of Roof? Yeah, right there off of Land Rover.
Yeah, but
Road.
He was too small. You're talking about the Italian restaurant on top of the hill. He was too small. And everybody couldn't actually see the show. Same thing when we do comedy over at the OTI. If you go around that corner. If you go around that corner in the club, it's nice.
Well, if they knocked that restaurant down and built a comedy club on that hill like that, that would be a hell of a location. If they knocked the whole building down and built a venue for entertainment, that would be a hell of a location to have a
yeah,
club.
Yeah,
Fratelli's.
Yeah, I never spoke to him about that. I don't – yeah, maybe he could do that. Because they got the new hotel there.
Down,
they got the Wyndham there.
They built in D.C. They built that new building. They built the MGM, man. They building theaters. They not trying to go to theaters. They building theaters. You got to build a theater now. They built that theater, man, in the MGM brand. Beautiful theater, you know, to have shows. They built the damn thing, man. You know what I'm saying? They didn't wait. When you guys do something now, all I'm saying is that other place down there, that they got a nice place down there. It's called, what's that club? It's a restaurant. You go down, they got a nice ballroom down there, too. It's owned by Clyde. It's the same people that own Clyde own that place, man. It's another place.
All right, I'm familiar. I'm not familiar with the owner, but I'm familiar with Clyde.
They do
going to be a little bit different in PG after the election, and I think things are going to be back on time. I think that he understands what is actually needed and people need to get their pencil and paper and follow their dreams, but then have a game plan.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see,
have a
man.
Game plan. I mean, my ideas are all, you know, see, people don't understand in other cities, they're listening, and some of them people, some of those people are flourishing because they couldn't open up as a restaurant. They had to do entertainment in order to stay in business.
Well, most restaurants are doing a nightclub at night. You know, they're trying to pay the bills.
Right, but they opened up as a restaurant. You know,
right,
if you go over to Sobeys basically opened up as a restaurant.
Well, Sobeys didn't have no dancing and no music, but they can't survive like that. Sobeys started out as a restaurant, a high upscale restaurant, but then he found out right quick that they didn't have no dancing, none of that. You know what I'm saying? And then they
exactly.
Found out that they kind of had some dancing and some music, you know what I mean?
Well, this one of the most beautiful restaurants I've been into. That was it's owned by
black
people, and it's really nice the way they have the. I haven't eaten the food, but I know that Chris Feimster, he just went over there from a Half Note.
Chris over there now?
Yeah, Chris is the manager there now.
I got to call Chris. I didn't know he was a Chris over there now. I think it's still happening. Oh, man, Chris is one of the men. I remember Chris when he first started managing nightclubs, man. He went from every night, and wherever Chris goes, he does it. I got to call Chris. I didn't know he was over there.
Yes, he is.
You got Chris's number.
For those people who don't know, Chris Feimster is the son of the great Pete, Herb Fame from the group
Herb,
Peaches
man,
and Herb.
Peaches. I don't know who Chris is. I remember when he first started doing the management of clubs and restaurants. He's an excellent manager of restaurants. He knows what he's doing. But anyway, man, because we're going to move off the air now, I want to make sure that everybody comes out on Thursday, December the 7th.
Yeah, see you Thursday.
The world's largest.
And Russell, that's great what you're doing, man, what you're giving to the people that have been doing this for a long time, the DJs and the philanthropers and the stuff like that. That's a good job.
People, man,
you'll be blessed for that.
We got the lifetime achievers, all of you, man. We got you, man. We got all the awardees going to be there, man. We're giving out awards, plaques, everything, man. It's going to be rolling, man, with the hot stuff. But be there, man. We'll see you next. Spread the word, Chris. This is the Russell
Price
Morning
Thank
Show.
You.
It's all about you. It's networking. Ain't no stopping us now. We'll see you on Thursday, December 7th, Masonic Temple.
If I go down this way, I hit on 301. I don't know what a car dealership is. Oh, I would come out before then.